I speak to you in the peace of Christ. Amen. Every morning, as I left my house in Fort Lauderdale to walk next door to my office at All Saints Church, located on the canal leading into the Intercoastal Waterway, I walked along parallel lines of okra that somebody had planted along our walkway. In the corner of the yard towered a huge mango tree. Out by the front fence stood a magnificent avocado bush. In our backyard was a coffee plant with little red berries on it. Passion fruit vines covered the deck by the seawall. And in the spring, a towering Japanese yellow tree trumpeted its sunny greeting to each new day. If I strolled too close to the seawall, I could wake the crabs that cowered in the dark crevices near the water. Like pop-up toys, the crabs would suddenly rise up and scamper in that strange omnidirectional gait of crabs, not bothering to avoid me if they could. But in all my daily morning trips from house to church, the most reliable companions were the green lizards that darted back and forth across the walkway, up the okra plants, down into the grass, up the tree trunks, around the hibiscus bushes, and as if they owned the sidewalk, they never even stopped to see who might be coming along. Of all the beautiful and exotic creatures that inhabited my childhood subtropical world in Miami, none fascinated me more than those lizards. You could feed them baked beans. As my wife discovered one day, when she first tried to evict one green visitor to our house and then decided to coexist with him. You could cut off their tails and they would grow new ones. I doubt that anything could have killed them all, and something about their clear, green, cold green color suggested they had been there long before we came and would be there long after we were gone. The lizards were the best evidence of God I could imagine. They were also useful for scaring girls. To tell you the truth, I had consigned my childhood lizard friends to a back file until I discovered a remarkable book by Carlos Aire entitled Waiting for Snow in Havana. Today, Carlos teaches religious studies at Yale University. He is, in fact, one of the world's experts on the Reformation, the Christian Reformation. But once upon a time, Carlos was a boy in Cuba during the final years preceding Fidel Castro. The son of a judge, Carlos lived a comfortable life in the Havana suburb of Miramar, attending private schools, eating well, enjoying the lavish attention of his parents, and doing the incredibly dangerous things boys did in those days, like jumping off the Malacan seawall into the ocean, before life became so regulated and cautious. But for Carlos, the green lizards of Havana were not only cute little creatures. They embodied evil and fear to him. And just shortly before he and his brother were flown out of Cuba to refuge in Miami, never to see his father again, they ran around their yard, killing as many lizards as they could. Years later, Carlos Aire admitted that all the stains on my soul are lizard-shaped, and some of them are missing their tails. On that day of the lizard apocalypse, Carlos and his friend Jorge killed all the lizards on their block. Carlos himself killed 41 lizards, a number he never forgot. But in his adult memoir, Carlos speaks to the dead lizards. Forgive me, hateful, dreadful, ugly, joyous, wondrous creatures. I took it all out on you, and for all the wrong reasons. Carlos suffered from the revolution. His world was turned upside down. Family relatives were imprisoned and executed. Castro's determined remaking of the world brought only fear, anxiety, danger, and darkness to the little boy in Miramar. And he focused all his troubles on the lizards. Toward the end of his memoir, Carlos Aire imagines what it would be like to be able to kiss the lizards instead of kill them. Speaking to Jesus, he speculates, "I'm sure there were even lizards at the foot of the cross, keeping you company." And that artists have left out that detail for nearly 2,000 years, too. If I ever take up painting, I'll include them in a crucifixion scene, Jesus. I'll make sure they have drops of your blood spattered all over their bodies. And if I ever paint an image of your Sacred Heart, I'll make sure there is a lizard perched on the thorns that encircle it. In some strange way, I think Carlos believes that salvation is something like kissing a lizard, facing your worst fears, letting go of those fears, and receiving forgiveness once and for all. As he continues his lizard-inspired dialogue with Jesus, Carlos says, "I know I said there was no way you could have kissed them, but I've changed my mind. After years of reflection, I'm sure you kissed them, and they kissed you back." But Carlos cannot kiss the lizards. Not yet. After all these years, he still holds on to fear, anger, and sadness at the day the world changed and blew up when he was a boy. It is hard to believe that what seems ugly or painful or frightening is not really ugly or painful or frightening. But the day of redemption will come for sure, imagines Carlos. Maybe I won't have to wait until I'm resurrected. Maybe it will happen in a dream in this life. Maybe it will be the dream of a lifetime, better than the one in which my father visited me. And in this dream of a lifetime, Carlos' father visits him and brings a friend, Immanuel Kant, who holds in his hand a green chameleon. Wordlessly, on behalf of all lizards, the creature says, "We forgive you. We really do. And in this, my dream of dreams, I kiss it fondly and let it go forever." Lest you think I've really lost it this time, here is the connection between Carlos Aire's lizard fixation and this second Sunday of Easter. When it was evening of Easter day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The day of their redemption had come, and they were hiding in fear behind locked doors. That's what fear and worry do to us. Outside that door, there may have been nothing but lizards as far as they could see. But the simple greeting, "Peace be with you," was like a kiss planted on the lizards, and from that day until now, we need not fear the lizards. We need not kill them, but we need not fear them. And you know, perhaps Jesus did pass by a lizard on his way out of the tomb. Who knows? In a few minutes, I will stand before you and I will speak the words I speak every Sunday, "The peace of Christ be with you." And we will turn to each other and give the ancient kiss of peace. Whether you kiss or shake hands or hug or smile and bow, this is the kiss of new life. It is the kiss of forgiveness. It is the kiss of mercy and redemption. It is the sign that we too can kiss the lizards and let them go and be forgiven and forgive them and pass into the world God has created for us, a world where even the lizards will be our friends. Amen.